Am I loud?
It's good.
It's all good. Good morning. It is the best day ever. Yes? Yeah, I think we're going to start our cheer. Best day ever. All right, superstar. Good morning. My name is Valerie Reeves. I am the spiritual director here, and it's great and delightful to see you all this morning. Thank you, Shenanigans. That was awesome. And thank you, Scott. Thank you, Rosie, for sure. I took notes because it was like really good. Persistent in guiding our thoughts. Wow, that's great. That might even take me to a different realm today. The topic today is spark from nothing to insight. From nothing to insight. And I was thinking about the ebb and flow, like when the waves go out and then the waves come in, and sometimes our lives are like that. And what I found is with this teaching, because I used to think life is like a roller coaster. Sometimes you're on a great high, and sometimes, wow, you bottom out. And what I found with this teaching is that everything just keeps going a little higher, and the lows are a lot lower, as long as I am persistent in guarding my thoughts. Because once in a while, a thought will seep in that is not for my highest and best. Anybody ever have that happen? Of course we have. It's life, right? So being persistent in guarding our thoughts, such a great thing. I was thinking about that when my car broke down. It's like, and my sister said, what's in your consciousness? It's like, I don't know. Why are you asking me this? Evidently, something amazing is about ready to happen. I don't even know yet. So good things happen. I was thinking that too when we were singing, I am so blessed. I am so blessed. And last week, my son spoke with me. Awesome. He's fantastic, right? It's the Mother's Day gift. His Mother's Day gift to me. He's like, I don't have to get you anything else, do I? I'm like, no, we're good. We're good. But my son-in-law flies helicopters up in the high desert for the CHP, and he sent a picture of this car that was totally crushed. They always carry a paramedic with them. And this car, it looks like, how could anybody survive that? And they got him to the hospital, and it was just a little minor head injury after this whole car got crushed. And I'm thinking, this guy is so blessed. Something amazing is about ready to happen in his life. And sometimes we have things that happen that maybe feel like we've been crushed. And yet, something wonderful is about to happen. And those are the times to really go into the space of, I am so blessed. Because I get to live, I get to be here. I get to create my own reality. And if I'm not creating the reality that I love, then let me take a look at my thoughts. And not with a, oh my God, I'm awful, why am I thinking this? But as a, I love myself regardless of everything, and let me just clean those thoughts up. Where did some of these other little thoughts come from? And as I was looking at from nothing to insight, I was thinking about Oriah Mountain Dreamer's book, The Invitation. Any of you read this? It's such a great, great book, and it starts out with her poem. So I'm picturing it because she says, here she is at this party, and there's a lot of pomp and circumstance where people are just, oh, well, this is what I do. Oh, this is what I do. Oh, and what are you wearing? You know, and it's like where people are just putting on that pretense. And she stood back at this party and went to a deep space inside of her, and she wrote this amazing poem. I'm going to read my favorite insights from the poem. It doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for and if you dare to dream of meeting your heart's desire. It doesn't interest me how old you are. I want to know if you will risk looking like a fool for love, for the dream, for the adventure of being alive. It doesn't interest me if the story that you are telling is true. I want to know if you can disappoint another to be true to yourself. If you can bear the accusation of betrayal and not betray your own soul, if you can be faithless and therefore trustworthy, I want to know if you can see the beauty even when it's not so pretty every day, and if you can source your own life from its presence. And she wraps up with, I want to know if you can be alone with yourself and if you truly like the company that you keep. Now, being... a a recovering people pleaser. The first time I read this, I thought, it doesn't interest me what story you're telling me. If the story you're telling me is true, I want to know if you can disappoint another to be true to yourself. I don't want to disappoint anyone. Yet we have to, in Shakespeare's words, to thine own self be true. What great, great words. To thine own self be true. And be able to say no when we really don't want to do something. And say, yes, I would love to. Or thank you, and I'm going this way instead of that way. Love and support you, and this is what I'm doing. So making sure that you're tuning into your own self, and it's like, what would I love to do today and in this moment? And those of you that did not raise your hand that are not going to the forgiveness workshop, I forgive you. I actually do a forgiveness workshop for myself about once a quarter, just because I needed to keep myself clean. It's like, okay, I forgive myself, and I forgive others, and I forgive my opinions and others' opinions. And it's really interesting how in life we can hold ourselves back based on what we think other people are thinking. I hear so many times people say, oh, people would think I'm really crazy if I did that. Oh, my family would just not agree if I did that. It's like, so? And? Do it. Love yourself. Ernest Holmes says this in... not mine. Okay. Spirit is calling. In fact, I even have that written here. Life is calling. Hello, life. Awesome. It's all good. Life is calling. And so calling into that creativity, into that expression, and allowing yourself to be creative, allowing yourself to do the dance that only you can do, sing the song that only you can sing. Have you noticed, I'm digressing, all the adult coloring books lately? It's like all of a sudden everybody went from not being creative to all of a sudden, oh, let's be creative and let's capitalize on that. Let's have adult coloring books. I like the kid coloring books. I will find those. So, but tuning into that creativity that is you. I was really excited last week because we had a class when I was in San Jose called Creative Brilliance. And so I painted some sloppy paintings. They said, just make it all abstract. I painted some sloppy paintings. And we had this little raffle last week. And Betty moved her ticket from anything else except for the prizes of my paintings. And she won them because she was the only one in there. Yay! Like, it's all good. That was my creative brilliance. So stepping into our own creative brilliance, Ernest Holmes says this in This Thing Called You. This thing called you. Creation does not mean making something out of nothing. Creation is the passing of spirit into form and eternally going on. Spirit cannot change from being all. There is nothing for it to change into. This is self-evident. Goes on to say, the creative spark that is within us cannot be extinguished. It is our attitude that can cause a feeling of restriction. Oh, I can't paint. Yes, I can. And I can sing, too. We'll work on that. We can lose our connection to our own creativity because we get uncomfortable with it. We fear it. We judge it. We lose our creative confidence, get caught up into rejection. So putting that aside and stepping into our own creative brilliance, in fact, even affirming that, I am creatively brilliant. Think about that. Maybe touch your heart and say, I'm creatively brilliant. I am creatively brilliant. Let that sink deep into your mind. You're creatively brilliant. And each of us is a whole different creation. So when we get into that space of losing the spark, I see it with kids. Oh, I can't color inside the line. Somebody else does it better. The more they judge something else, instead of saying, oh, this is how it is. This is what I'm doing. The more we get a step into that divinity of who we are. You know, the schools took a lot of art and music out of the school system so that there'd be more time to learn. And they've been pushing the STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. They've now changed that to STEAM, science, technology, engineering, art, and math. Because without the creative, isn't that great? I know, it's exciting. Without the creative part, it's really hard to create something new. It's like, how do these great scientists come up with something amazing if they haven't been able to color outside of the lines in order and enabled to step into that creative brilliance? And then I think about, as we're moving on through life, it's like sometimes we'll put those limitations on ourselves. Oh, I'm getting too old, or oh, I don't know enough. Oh, I should have taken this class or that class. I should have studied that in school. It's never too late. It's never too late to allow your creative brilliance to come forward. And who knows, you might be the next great, amazing inventor. We don't even know yet. It just depends on what seeds you're planting and being mindful, persistent in guarding our thought. And it's really easy for thoughts to start seeping in. Oh, why did that guy cut me off today on the freeway? Why are they driving crazy? It's like, ah, they're having an issue. It's okay. It's still the best day ever. And I'm going to get there in the right and perfect time, and maybe I just needed to slow down a little bit and be mindful of where I am. So in this teaching, we talk about our thoughts are like seeds that we plant in the creative, fertile soil of our mind. And then we nurture that. And being persistent with it so that every day, we're being mindful. And that takes work. It's not hard work, but it's it's diligence. It's like when we were kids and you learned how to brush your teeth every night, right? It's like I could not go to sleep without brushing my teeth now, because we started that little ritual of nighttime, brush your teeth, wash your face, get ready for bed. And we're creating habits. Our little rituals become habits. And it's even the same with our words and our thoughts that we're thinking. These are rituals. Ritualistic, if somebody cuts me off on the freeway, I might have a few words to say, or birds might fly. I don't even know what the situation might be. So when we get in the habit of saying, thank you, I am blessed. I am blessed that that just happened. I'm going to take a breath and slow down, because evidently that spirit saying, slow down, be mindful. Regardless of what's happening out there, best day ever. And I'm just going to slow down and be mindful. And if something looks like an appearance of something that I'm not wanting, it's like, all right, let me bring it back to this moment right here, because all there is right now. And we spend so much time thinking about the past, thinking about the future, instead of being in that space where spirit is flowing down through like a vortex through each and every one of us, creating. And then something shows up and it's like, where did this come from? Because obviously I'm blessed. And then releasing those things. I remember the first time I did the forgiveness workshop. It was in Kansas City. And my friend Jeree came. And she said, you know, forgiveness has been really, it was challenging for me. And then all of a sudden something just switched. And what switched is her sister had been murdered by her husband. And she said, all I could think is, how do you forgive that? How do you forgive that? And so she said, I was doing, because she was a practitioner and she was cleaning and cleansing her spirit and knowing that there's only one, and it's like, how could this happen? How could this happen? And then she decided she would go to the jail because she needed to have a face-to-face, and she said, the minute I saw his face, there was forgiveness. Because she said, that's spirit, that's human being, that's oneness, that's connection, that's God, that's something else is happening in the universe. And I can't move forward unless I forgive him. And with that, sometimes things happen in people's lives and we don't even know what they've been through. And she's like, I don't know what happened in his life to get him to be where he was, but the only thing I could do is forgive. Not for him, but for me. All I could do is forgive and let it go and keep healing that wound. Because people come in and out of our lives, and we're born into this wonderful experience, and people are creating their own reality and doing their own life and doing their own thing. And people will come and go, yet the best thing I can do is love myself regardless of anything. Spirit is always calling us forth. Only we can dim the spark of spirit. Only we can choose not to be creative. When the ebbs occur, There are always ways to rekindle the spark and return to our natural creative self by building our creative confidence one step at a time, and it's the same thing with healing. Healing one step at a time. And putting everything else down and saying, Spirit, this is the direction. And Spirit, that inner knower inside, is guiding and directing, and sometimes it seems like we're on a path going the wrong way, and it's like, Spirit, I said I wanted this, and you have me going this way. Yet there were tools I needed to pick up along the way. So as I pick up those tools so that I can handle everything along the way here, regardless of who I run into and what situations happen, how can I love myself and love others? And what I found is that the more that any of us, if we're judging other people, then we hold ourselves more back because it feels like everyone's judging. If I'm judging, everyone's judging. Because we tend to think, so within, so without. So, how can I let go of things that have hurt me along the way? How can I forgive myself for not maybe seizing a moment or for not being mindful? How can I do that? I want to say simple, just let go. It got really hot in here all of a sudden, didn't it? Scott, could you kick on some airflow? Anybody else hot? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, that's a hot topic. When we start looking at forgiveness and forgiving ourselves and forgiving others and looking at the Spirit that's flowing through us. Now, DJ, my oldest son, he gets an opportunity to do make-a-wishes because he's Bumblebee. It's like not everyone in life gets to say that. It's like that's part of his creative brilliance to be able to work with people that are getting ready to make their transition. And he said, you know, Mom, the thing I found is that everyone has that happy, joyful spirit in the moment. And if you can just seize every moment and love everyone, regardless of how they appear, regardless of what's going on. And I know sometimes when people are at that space of getting ready to make their transition that it just feels like they're angry, they're frustrated. And it's like, well, I can love myself and bring love to each and every person. So my mother's husband is getting ready to make his transition. They're back in Nebraska. And she was calling me and she was saying, you know, he just seems so angry, so frustrated. And it's like, well, he's in pain. And then his family is in pain, and so it's like people act out when they're going through those situations. They act out. And so all we can do in those moments is love them. And I think about that. If you look around this room, and they always have these bright red exit signs, and it's like, why do they have to be so blaringly bright and red? It's because it's in times when it's not natural and not normal for something to happen, so we have to be able to see the big, bright sign. It's kind of the same thing with life, getting ourselves prepared for anything that comes our way, and the best way we can do that is to love ourselves unconditionally every single day, regardless of what's happening, putting things down, and being in that space of loving everyone, because they're all a part of us, regardless of how they're showing up, regardless of what happens. But making sure that we are taking that time to guard the thoughts that are going in our mind. Also, being on that constant. It's like creating a new habit, like brushing our teeth. Being in the habit of thinking good, thinking positive, being excited about life, seeing the best in everyone, regardless of everything. Because the more we get into the ritual of doing that, then it becomes a habit, the ritual of our own spiritual practice. Let it become a habit so that the thoughts always go to that space of awesome. Something wonderful is about to happen. It's the best day ever, regardless of anything that's going on out here. If there's a crash or something crazy going on in our lives, we'll be at that space of, you know what, my thoughts just go to that space of love. And the more we anchor that in every day, every day, every day, it makes it easier when we come to the trials and the tribulations in our life. It's like, all right, when I'm right up against the wall and things are happening, and somebody comes up to me and says, what's in your consciousness? How'd you create this? I can say love is in my consciousness. It's in there. And maybe I just got a little mud on top of it, a little muck with it. But let me just clear that. And let me know that regardless of everything that's happening, something wonderful is coming through this. The darkest hour is always before the dawn. And sometimes the dark hours feel like, oh my God, I'm going to be here forever. It doesn't last. It's like, take another breath. It's going to be okay. Wake up another day. It's going to be okay. And put these thoughts down. Problem with thoughts is it's constant. It's the nature of our mind to think. So we're thinking, thinking, thinking. And some of the thoughts aren't so positive. So it's like, all right, let me grab a new thought. Let me grab a new thought. That's why we're called New Thought here. New thought, ancient wisdom. Let me grab a new thought and feel good about myself. Let me step into my creative brilliance. I love the story of the Sunday school teacher telling the children to draw a picture of God. And I'm saying it wrong. Wow. She says, what are you drawing? And the little girl says, I'm drawing a picture of God. And she's like, nobody knows what God looks like. She said, well, they will when I get done. Right? So stepping into their own creative brilliance, they will when they get done. It's probably going to look like each one of us, right? Because God is within. It's that spirit within. So my charge to you, your mission, should you decide to take it, is to put all these other thoughts down and choose only good thoughts. And be aware, be mindful, when a thought comes to mind that is not supporting you, not supporting the universe, not supporting the best life ever, put that thought down and pick up a new thought and put it in there. It's like, oh, the sky is blue, it's beautiful, it's brilliant. Every step I take is better and better, and I just get stronger and stronger, and I see more love and more beauty with every step out there. And I step back when somebody's having those experiences, and I allow them to have their experience. I do not have to jump into that crazy arena with them. I call it the crazy pool of dysfunction. Sometimes there's that crazy pool of dysfunction, and people want to pull you in there with them. Like, oh, they're not pulling me in. I'm just kidding. I'm jumping in sometimes. So making sure that we're not jumping into that crazy pool of dysfunction. We may be pushing each other's buttons, but they didn't install the buttons. So let me uninstall any button and not step into that crazy pool of dysfunction with someone. Let me step back and take a breath and say, all is well and right in my world. I know all is well and right in yours. Regardless of how someone's acting out or what's happening out there, the best thing I can do is see the highest and best unfolding always. And knowing that life is good. And making sure that we are really focusing on what thoughts am I doing based on this relationship, based on this job. I remember when my father and mother got divorced when I was 11, and then my dad was single for a while, and it was such, that was like the best time ever, because it was just fun. We had backyard barbecues and all of this, and then he got remarried. And one day, because he used to be very ticklish, I said, you're not ticklish anymore. And he's like, no, she took the tickle out of me. And all I wanted to say is, she can't take the tickle out of you. She can't take, nobody can take anything out of you. Nobody can take anything away from you. It's our thoughts about the relationship or our thoughts about how it's limiting us that affect us. It's our thoughts. And if it's not working, it's like, step aside, find a new path, or find a new thought and say, you know what? This is how this works for me. Let's recreate our relationships if they're not working in a way that's harmonious. Nobody can take the tickle out of you. Nobody can take technically any emotion from you or throw any emotion on you or make you feel anything. So we put that aside and say, you know what? Here's where I'm at. In your reality, you may be right. In my reality, I'm always right. And we may just have to agree to disagree. You're right, your reality, I'm right, my reality. So all I can do is love you, and we don't have to talk about this anymore, or we don't have to go into that arena anymore. Finding ways to allow life to have those beautiful ebbs and flows where it's not like a drastic, crazy roller coaster ride, but a gentle, beautiful, upward, loving, beautiful ebb and flow that just works well. And remembering that everything happens in mind first. Everything happens in mind first. And the minute I take time to creatively visualize that I have a good working relationship with people, or that we've even had a conversation of, I forgive you, I can visualize anybody coming to me and saying, I apologize, even if they don't do it in real life, I apologize for my behavior, I apologize for this thing, then it's healed within me, and that's all that matters. Let it be healed within you, regardless of what everyone else is doing. Allow it to be healed, and be aware of your own thoughts. It's like, that's healed, that's healed, that's healed, that's healed. And all in my life is love. That's all there is, because that's all I'm wanting. Those are the seeds I want. And once in a while, I'll hear somebody say, yes, but you don't understand what they did. It's like, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. It's like Byron Katie's book, Who Would You Be Without Your Story? And I know I've mentioned this before, but I always come back to it because I love it.